At some point in our lives, I think we've all experienced a negative impact from a person in our lives that we would otherwise call a bully. And this person has made us feel, whether or not they physically hurt us, very emotionally traumatized, as if they did physically hurt us. This person may have falsely accused you of something. They stare or glare, which is non-verbally intimidating and can clearly show hostility. Sometimes it can even discount the person's thoughts or feelings. So if you're feeling something or have really good input on something, they just discredit it right away. I am personally a person that has had these issues happen. Now, that's why I'm speaking out mostly against it and how we can learn to work better and work through these and survive all the bullies in life. But this clearly doesn't come easy because it's hard to identify. Now, my series of podcasts have been mostly on workplace bullying. And the reason why is because workplace kind of involves many different areas. And not only that, it also involves the church. That is someone's workplace. Not to mention if you volunteer there, that is your workplace as well. And if you're a congregate, if you're just showing up to listen and everything, you are also in someone's workplace. So workplace bullying goes around in all different areas, and that's why I am so passionate about it. Not to mention everything I've experienced since I've left the church and the faith has been anything short of bullying, and it's unreal. And there's so many things that you don't recognize as bullying, but it actually is. Well, you just don't believe because it's a phase you're going through. That's bullying. You don't believe because you just want to love your sin. That's bullying. So some of the other traits are sarcasm, condescension, name calling, public belittling or taunting, criticizing and teasing. I have a few clips for you today, and you're going to be amazed at what has happened in some of these churches. And they're all doing it in the name of the Lord. But some of these things are not part of what church is and what God is supposed to be or what they say he's supposed to be. Yet, when I read through, I see a lot of typical bullying things and a lot of many verses that sort of encourage a way of bullying. But sarcasm, condescension, name-calling, public belittling, withholding resources, that's one I can definitely relate with because people have done that to me numerous times. Singling people out in negative ways, shouting, and intimidation. I got another clip for you. You're going to love it. It's a child preacher. He's going to, he gets up and he is supposed to be this child preacher that's really, I guess, popular on preaching. And so he shouts, and that's preaching. And then he defends it by saying, well, that's the way the Bible says to speak. And it really isn't. I don't know where people get this, but that's just ludicrous. So how common is bullying? 96% of employees have experienced incivility in their organization. 60% of employees report stress due to incivility at work. 35% of employees report being bullied at their work. And 80% of employees believe incivility is a problem throughout their organization. Who are these workplace bullies? Well, 48% of employees were bullied by their bosses, and 45% of employees were bullied by their coworkers. And so why is this happening? How come every time we go to work or anytime we experience this, it happens to be at a place that we have to all be at? I mean, we're all in the same boat. If you shoot your employee in the foot, you've now just made work a lot harder. That's why if you're a manager, you're not there to delegate. Well, okay, you are, but you're not there to bully people, put them down, dictate their lives. You're not there for that. You are there to assist them so that they can work and do the work that they need to. Just because you're above that in a way doesn't mean you are a king or any more important than they are as a worker. You just have a different title. That is something that needs to be instilled in a lot of business, and I don't think it is lately. And you see it everywhere, and I'm sure it's always been that way. Maybe we just need to have a bigger movement on some of these things. But why is this happening? 70% of Americans believe that the internet and social media encourages uncivil behavior. And where is this happening? Bullying occurs across the globe. It is so prevalent that some countries have implemented laws to prohibit workplace bullying. These countries include Sweden, Britain, France, Australia, Ireland, and Canada, and Japan. Now, I do think we need to in America as well, because it happens all the time and there's nothing much we can do about it. Only 3% of people actually are able to report these things and actually do and pursue them. And most of the time, these companies have very expensive lawyers. So if you don't have enough money, because now you no longer have a job and you're trying to sue your previous job, you're kind of screwed unless you have a lot of evidence. So take notes. What can we do about it? Teach new behaviors. New behaviors can be learned and applied. Consistently demonstrate professionalism. Be a model of acceptable behavior. Create standards of behavior to drive improved business performance. Provide examples of which behaviors are acceptable and which behaviors are not acceptable. So the next clip I'm going to show you is from the Child Preacher. And this one, he gets up and he starts yelling some verse and or something in some tongue of preaching. I don't know what exactly he says, but I don't think he understands what it is he's saying. And because of the tone and the demeanor, it's actually bullying. And you're indoctrinating a kid at this age, and this is what this is showing, that they don't really know what they're saying, but they're saying it to please their parents or caretakers, and they're turning into little bullies themselves. But we all look at this like, oh my gosh, you know, they can do this stuff too. And it's like, no, they don't comprehend it. There's only certain things they can comprehend and do. And then there's certain things they really can't, but they need to be a kid. So this is actually child abuse. So let's take a listen and let me know what you think.
I see here, it seems like these kids are just regurgitating Bible verses. I want to know if you really understand what it is that you are preaching.
I would like to make up a reading comprehension test for your kids. See if they really
you're not on mic. So
this student's an A student.
Could you give me,
in the school.
Could you maybe give me a Bible verse?
Oh, that doesn't mean
interpret
anything.
It or something?
Yeah. Could you preach for us and let us and then tell us what it is you mean?
I'm biblical. Both ways.
Could you, Duffy? Could you? In your own words.
But you want me?
Yeah.
Preaching it.
Yeah. Whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Well, there's a verse. There's a verse.
No.
You want him to preach?
Yeah.
Get up and preach. Get up and preach.
Come on, Jeffy.
Yeah, go ahead. Stand up right where you are if you want to. Go ahead.
Jeffy, do you want to preach?
If you want to. If you don't want to,
the audience shouldn't be able to intimidate you into this. If you want to do it, it's up to you.
Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute, please. People want to know what that means that you just said. In your own word, tell us, what does that mean?
It means just what it says.
No.
Don't yell it to us. Tell us what that means. Well, I've never read the Bible, let's pretend, and I don't understand that type of language. Tell me how that applies in my own life.
Well, what I'm screaming is the Bible definition of preaching is Isaiah 58:1. It says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet.
Stay away from the Bible, Duffy.
Tell us. How do you stay away from the Bible if you're going to preach, though?
The Bible says you're to speak as the oracles of God. Uh-huh. If you don't want to talk the way this Bible talks, you should keep your mouth shut.
I will post the link to the full video in the comment section. So, he's bullying. You can see that, right? This kid who has no idea. And not only that, the kid himself is also a victim of bullying because his parents, his dad, is pushing him into this. And he's sitting right next to him in the video. But he's pushing him into this preaching position. Now he's being bullied by not only that, but he's being confronted by an audience of people that are calling BS on it. Not only that, that's highly traumatic. And that's going to stunt a very mature emotional growth in a child. I wouldn't be surprised if this child turns out to be, some sort of criminal or creep or something like that. And I'm not saying he will. And I say that because anytime these children are pushed like this, their reality gets distorted. And when they finally try to become who they want to be, it's a distorted version of that. versus someone who can grow up naturally, normally, and be allowed to make decisions of who they want to be for themselves. So it becomes the opposite of what normality is, and it looks like everything else that we view currently as abnormal. Does that make sense? So the next clip takes place in a church, and there's a lot of noise and screaming and kids and cell phones in the background, and the pastor comes up and fixes the problem. And you're going to hear a loud noise, and I'll let you know what that is once you hear it.
And this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We've come to know love. God is love. We love because he first loved us.
So what you heard right there was him walking over to the lady with the phone, grabbing her phone, and smashing it into the floor. This is a huge sign of bullying, and I honestly, if I was going to the church, I'd be like, bye. You know, you don't stay at a place that does these things. You don't subject yourselves to it. You know, phones used to go off all the time, and you had to, like, go into a menu, find the ringer thing and turn it off and put it to silent. Unless you had to do it all the time, it was a very hard thing to do or to even figure out. Now, this was an older video, and I think it was probably, like, a flip phone. Either way, I mean, it's just how life is, and no one should ever be that angry or that upset or that flustered or frustrated when these things aren't true. These things can happen, because if somebody is really practicing and trying in the word and trying to be a good human being towards others and everything, you don't get this upset no matter how bad the situation around you is, because you learn to deal with it. Now, this pastor's anxiety got the best of him, and he acted very inappropriately. And I mean, these are smaller churches, so I don't know that this is happening in the bigger churches, but I have seen some bullying in bigger churches as well that you don't think normally happen. So in the next clip, we have a pastor who claims to have punched a kid in the chest and crumpled him, and this is what causes the kid to come to Christ. Now, the issue with this is that you are now forcing someone's will or something's will onto somebody else, and they are no longer making the choice to come to God. They feel belittled, depraved, they feel scared, and they better do what you say or you'll punch them. That's what bullying does. That is not how you go to the Lord. That's not how anyone should make you feel when the Lord's involved. This goes for any religion. So you're going to hear the clip, hear what he says and how he justifies it. And it just kind of sickens me, because people then just play it off like it's not that big a deal. It's just another story. Yeah, sometimes God needs to kick you in the rear because, you know, you're not doing well enough. And it kind of just, to me, sounds like that dad who was never really there, but thinks that you need to have your, that you've been coddled too much your whole life. That's what it sounds like to me. So here's the clip.
Nehemiah was willing to back things up. He was a man of action. God's word doesn't tell us if he was right or wrong in his reaction in this, but it does show that he was vindicated. He was full of the zeal of the Lord. They had so profaned God's house, he had to send a message. You know what? As leaders here, there's a new policy going to be instituted here at Bible Baptist Church. Okay? No. I'm going to say this, though. There might be times where that happens. There was a young man in Calvary. His name was Ben. And I was running a youth group. I was there for a few years. And he was a nice kid, but he was one of those kids that was always just, he's a real smart aleck. Was a bright kid, which didn't help things, right? Made him more dangerous. And we were outside one day, youth group, and he was just trying to push my buttons. And he was just, you know, kind of not taking the Lord serious. And I walked over to him and I went, bam! I punched him in the chest as hard as I crumpled the kid. I just crumpled him. And I leaned over and I said, Ben, when are you going to stop playing games with God? I led that man to the Lord right there. There's times that that might be needed. Can some of us say, you know what? If it wasn't for God kicking my rear, I wouldn't be here. I've seen people, it literally took, sadly, a physical beating to come to the Lord.
It should never have to take a physical beating to come to the Lord. Never. There's no reason for it. If you feel that you are being pushed and pulled and bullied and picked on just to come to the Lord, just to go to God, any God, any religion, then it is not a worthy religion or God to serve. We have the ability to defy any force out there that tries to impose their will on us. And we win by standing up against it. Period. And that goes for, you know, God of creation or God of just anything. There's no other way to explain it. You have every right in your world to go through it, walk through it, with the right to defend your way of living. It could be bad. You could live a bad life. You could live a life of killing and murder and whatnot, but it's not very recommendable because you're imposing will on others, which is immoral. And secondly, if you get caught, you are no longer doing what you want to do. So your right of defense can happen from jail or prison. But that doesn't mean that there's any force or contract that is preventing us from doing these acts at all. One of my greatest lines was in The Killing Joke, which is a Batman cartoon with the Joker. And there's a line in there where he says, there's no contract bounding us to a way of behavior. And that's somewhat true. We can choose to behave and do things a different way if we so feel we can. Now, a lot of our decisions is based on our upbringing, our influences, and many other things in our lives that kind of go back and forth. But yeah, there's many options out there for us, and we can do things in many different ways. There's nothing preventing us from one thing or another. But let's think about something. What if you were to go to a church and be kicked out on a Sunday in front of a congregation? What if, even if you were the person that was going behind their backs or on their YouTube pages and making comments, but then you one day decide to show up? Now, that would be like something like me, where I talk about Ray Comfort all the time and then showing up and talking with Ray Comfort, or at least sitting in his congregation. But this guy is getting kicked out, and this pastor is highly defensive about it, rather than inviting the person to a debate or an argument or discussion to see, you know, who really knows what. So here's the clip. Take a listen. Let me know what you think in the comments. And we're going to see just what this sounds like in real life. And this is one church, but this pastor has a lot of videos on him about being angry and ranting all the time. And there's kids around and everything, and all these parents subjecting their kids to it. If I was a parent, I would have said, hey, you need to shut up.
Right here has texted people without coming to me. Look, if he had a problem with my doctrine, shouldn't he have come to me?
Yes.
Or should he be going behind my back and backbiting, going to other church members who never asked his opinion, mind you, never even asked and said, hey, Chris, what do you think about Pastor Anderson's sermon? He just texts them because he saw them on YouTube defending me. So because they were on YouTube defending me, he takes it upon himself to rebuke them for the defending the pastor of his church, calls my statements wicked and evil. And listen, this, you know, I know your faggoty buddy Ashton Yakton lets everybody get up and say whatever they want, but in this church, it's not a free-for-all. It's not an open mic. You don't come to this church and pretend to be a faithful member of the church while you're going behind the pastor's back. Did you ever have the guts to confront me with that, Chris? Huh? Did you ever have the guts to confront me with that, Chris? No, you didn't. You didn't have the guts, you coward. You're like Judas. You want to go behind my back. I want you to get up and get out of this church right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get out of here.
Get out.
What's that? Here's my biblical grounds. You're a Judas Iscariot.
Railer.
Railer, right.
See, here is congregation calling him a railer. And this is the guy, Chris, that's sitting in the audience that supposedly went on social media behind the pastor's back and said a bunch of bad things about him. Just a bunch of mean, gnarly, whatever things. And they start calling him a railer. And a railer is somebody who complains or protests strongly and persistently about something. He railed at human fickleness is what the definition says. I don't know. Anyways, but you see that the congregation is now siding with the pastor, and this is what is called groupthink. Groupthink is when everybody doesn't know what side to be on, but they side with the one that is winning so they don't end up like Chris. They don't want to end up like the other person. Anyone could have stood up and said, hey, pastor, I understand this guy is annoying as heck, but, you know, ignore him. He's just trying to distract you. Let's get on with the sermon, and we'll deal with this after. And rather than that, but if you did that, if you stood up to the pastor and said that at that moment, you would be like Chris. You would be a railer. And that is a form of bullying. Now, this goes on to continue just a little bit, and I'm going to play a little bit more, and it's just insane.
And backbite the pastor without even having the guts to confront him yourself and go around and say all this stuff, huh? Why do you want to be here, Chris, if I'm tampering with the gospel? There are 40 other independent Baptist churches in this town that are King James only that don't, quote, tamper with the gospel. So why don't you go join one of them, Chris? Why are you even here?
I think it's a great
church. Oh, really? But the pastor makes wicked and evil statements and tampers with the gospel. That's not a great church, Chris. You're right. Disagreeing with what I preach is not a reason to be kicked out. You're right. Because listen to me. No one in this church agrees with me on everything. And that's okay. Because we're all different. We all read the Bible. We all have the Holy Spirit. No two Christians are going to agree on everything. That's fine.
I thought this was interesting. He says that everyone has a different opinion. People can disagree with me, but everybody but Chris, right? Only because he's been saying stuff behind your back. So instead of, you know, you confronting this in your own time, you know, after the sermon, you decided to do it during church when everyone else is there with their kids sitting on their laps. And not to mention, this guy gets up and he walks out with his kids as well, being forced out of the church. Now, I know some people are self-destructive or even self-sabotaging, put themselves in very, you know, uneasy predicaments. And Chris could have said, hey, you know, let's talk about this after church. I'm not here to disrupt you. You know, we can talk about the social media things after, whatever. Either way, no one handled this like an adult. So you have a bully and a bully, and they're both colliding right here in the middle of church. And yeah, it that's just how it happened. But either way, it's not how you handle things like an adult or professionally. And when that happens, you need to figure out the time and place and medium to discuss it civilly. And if you don't have that ability, then you shouldn't be in that position, pastor. Obviously, I can't, you know, pick on the guy being the bully, Chris, only because I don't know what his deal is. And his forum isn't anything professional. It's just on a social media. And you know what? There's a lot of bullies on social media, and I come across it every day. I get people that tell me I'm an idiot. I get people that tell me I'm ignorant. I get people that tell me I'm just purely stupid. If I knew any better, then I would believe in this and have faith and all that stuff. And even though I explain it all the time, most of the time they block me or they stop talking to me. Most of the time. They write me off. They say their one closing statement of, you're just an idiot and leave. Or they leave me a list of like 15 Bible verses and then leave and never speak again. That's another form of bullying. And you're not defending yourself. You don't actually know the material. You're just repeating what you read, you know, online or what you use to think that it answers your argument. And I go, well, the Bible's the one I'm questioning. I'm not questioning whether or not you believe it. I'm not questioning whether or not, you know, why you believe it. I'm questioning, how does that make sense? And that's kind of a difference. So I'm not a online bully. I try not to be. But you do get people that just, they feel inferior and they feel like in order to counter that, they have to call you names be bigger than you, make a bigger scene, repeat a lot more Bible verses, anything like that. So I know it goes on both sides. And in this case, and for that video, there's a better way to handle it. But what I have been noticing is from my perspective, the religious side does not know how to handle these things because they think everyone else should believe like they do. And if you don't, then there's something wrong with you. But it's hard because they're the ones being the bullies. You'll see a lot of atheists not usually being the bullies because they don't have any invested interest in what you believe, nor do they give a shit. But then you have the religious people who do, and so it kind of pushes the boundaries a little bit of what is appropriate behavior and what is mature behavior. And then you get this, what happens in church. The next clip has to do with a pastor who goes off on one of his members for falling asleep during his service. And I used to be the video guy at church for 6 hours a day, 6 to 8. Actually, it was like 6 to 8 hours a day, depending on what time I went in. If I went in at 6, it was 8 hours. If I went in at 8, it was 6 hours. Anyways, you would fall asleep. I would fall asleep. It's not easy listening to the same thing over and over again, trying to stay awake, especially if you're not moving that much. And for some of these members of Congress, for some of the members that adhere and go to these things, they have a hard time. Some people have a hard time staying awake. And I've seen it. And I've seen, especially the older folk, have a hard time staying awake. Now, what this pastor does is considered bullying because he is going to kind of put this person on the spot for something that he may medically not be able to, you know, control. So let's take a listen.
Go to sleep while I'm talking. Hey. Don't you lay your head back. I'm important. I'm somebody. Now, you might do your English teacher that way, but I'm not teaching English. I'm teaching eternal life here. I love you. You know I love you. Have I convinced you I love you? Yeah. You better nod your head yes. All right. Come on. Put it right there. All right. You stay awake and you listen to me. You say, well, he may never come back. Well, he ain't here now.
Well, this pastor isn't done. And then in the next segment, he actually goes on to talk about different marriages and actually puts somebody on the spot and says their marriage was the worst one of all. So, gosh, I mean, I hope this is helping you recognize what bullying is inside the church. This is not a message from God. This is not a message from the Bible. This is not how it preaches or even like human of how we interact and react to each other.
Mr. Underwood. And I noticed on the calendar I'm supposed to marry y'all. What makes you think I'd marry you? You're one of the sorriest church members I have. You're not worth 15 cents. And you want me to marry you to her? And you want to marry him? And he don't even know where he belongs? And you don't even know where you belong? Now, let me tell y'all, everybody here, how much I love these kids. Do you know I love you, sir? Stand up, big boy. Do you know I love you? All right. All right, give me a little love. Wait a minute. I'm a real deal. Yeah, all right, I know you are too, but you ain't.
So now you have a pastor who just put one of his members on the spot. And because of that, I don't know how you would be like, oh, hey, thank you, yes, for setting me straight. Thanks for bullying me into whatever. You know, you don't know what the guy's life was going on, and that was highly biased, pastor. You don't know if he had been up all night having a really long work day. I mean, you just don't know. Sometimes we need to sleep, and we need a nap, and we need a recharge. And it happens to be at church. You know what? I wouldn't even take it as a sign of being rude or anything. I would actually consider it a compliment. And not in a bad way, just that your voice is something that we like to maybe sleep to. I tend to put on things that I like to hear. A lot of the videos that are about self-help and building and coaching and other things, I put those on while I sleep. I don't listen to a lot of the things of like action and TV and other things. I listen to things that are like, here's how to build yourself up. For some reason, the next day I always feel like there's something that stuck or lingered, and I always feel more positive. And that I want to build other people up. Now, there's no actual influence happening. I'm just saying, it's the tone. The tone nice and pleasant sometimes. And you know what? I used to put on the church radio back when I was a Christian. So it'd come on every morning and I would listen to church and I would sleep, and I actually slept a lot better than I did listening to random BS on television, or just a random book, or a random radio station at all. So just saying, you don't know. That could have been a compliment. But it doesn't stop there, and now suddenly this pastor is also a child psychologist, and he knows what is going to happen to this woman's kids.
Oh, Brandy's a sweet girl, and she's got her children. Yes, y'all are good, and y'all are fine, but your children will turn on you if you don't hold up the standard and the banner of God. And if they don't turn on you, you'll just produce nice little whirlians.
And what's wrong with that? You were born on earth as humans to be humans, to survive on earth and live on earth. What is wrong with this world that we live in? We don't have any other options. So what's it matter?
Y'all keeping the camera on me back there in the little video room? Good. We're having trouble in the video room. There's no one finer than young Cox back there. And he comes down here and spends hours in that thing. But he has a little attitude adjustment that we're going to fix. Brother Cox, you listening? Because Brother Cox, I can fix your attitude adjustment. And I don't care what your mama thinks and your daddy thinks.
So personally, I've been in this position before. I worked for the tech and video crew when I was attending church for probably 2-3 years straight. And it was every Sunday. I didn't miss too many of them. And it was about 6 in the morning till about 12-1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the pastor sometimes does get upset when the video stuff is not working or slides are not working. And it's like, we're working on equipment that isn't really equipped to handle what it is we're trying to do. And that's upsetting. Because what this pastor does is put him on the spot. And that's happened to us a few times. And you don't feel like there's any encouragement. It's really it's a ninja compliment, or it's a ninja insult hidden in a compliment, or an insult hidden in a compliment. For atheists, this is, I will pray for you because we don't believe what you do and what you're telling us. Then they just go, oh, well, you don't have to believe what we believe, but we'll pray for you anyways. That's an insult hidden in a compliment. I don't appreciate those at all either. And so what this pastor does is just straight up ludicrous, mean, and it's just terrible. Oh, you got an attitude adjustment. I can fix your attitude adjustment. No, okay. You know, I know you think you're all big and tough because you're standing in the middle of a room where no one's standing up to you. But if I was there, I would definitely say something. That's who I'm becoming. And I know a lot of people probably don't think I would, but I also am not in those positions to prove myself, but I will be someday. So just wait. It'll happen. We'll see. You'll see. It'll happen. All right.
And I don't have a better friend than your mama. But mama, you get out of my way when I'm messing with that boy, because I'm his preacher. I'm yours when I'm talking to you, but I'm his when I'm talking to him. And last I checked, he's a grown man.
And just when you didn't think it could get any worse, oh boy, this is something that my father said about me all the time, which is why I no longer have a relationship with my father. I've had also Christians come up to me and say, well, you don't have a relationship with your father because you must not have, or with God, because you don't have a relationship with your father. And it would often be, so tell me, what's the relationship like with your father? And it has nothing to do with why I don't have a relationship with God. Everything that I don't have a relationship with God, or any belief that there is even a God, has to do with the fact that there's a lack of evidence to support any of it happening to begin with. I can demonstrate a pen falling from my hand. I can't even get near close enough to do that with God. I can't do one thing to demonstrate he exists. Not one thing. And no one has. No one has been able to. Oh, but his word says this. And it says that, yeah, my book says I am God and I am the one true God and no other gods before me. And if you believe any other gods, then you will go to hell. That's what my book says. My book says it. Actually, it doesn't. But in my book says it's true and no other books are true. That's what it says. So how do we know they are right? How do we know they're wrong? How do we know one is wrong but not the other? We have to have a method and a way of testing these things. Let's continue on this clip because I'm going to go on another rant. And honestly, I don't think you guys want to go on too many different topics. Let's stick with the one topic for now.
The video room ain't going to be a youth hangout. We might as well just fix this thing. And I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Well, if you don't know what you're doing wrong, son, you don't care about what I want to do right. Because if you loved me and you submitted to me, you'd know what my heart is and my message is, and you wouldn't go about establishing your own kingdom in the video room.
Wow. Just wow.
I really feel good now.
Oh, do you? Do you feel good now? You got it all out of your system, you big, bad, scary man?
Jesus. Jesus.
And then do you see how the congregation kind of reinforces the behavior? So not only that, you didn't have anybody sticking up for the guy in the video room, but you had a congregation going, preach it, supporting what the pastor just did, which was bullying. Now, I know some people are very petty about it and they go, what's the big deal? It's bullying. You know, you get bullied, you move on, you stick up to him, whatever. The problem is it does psychological and emotional damage that no one wants to recognize. Now, remember again, we were talking about workplace bullying and church bullying and religious bullying and how it kind of looks inside the church. Now, because this is a place of business and a place of work for some people, we as attendants, adherers, can become victims ourselves of their bullying. Not only the people that work there, but the people that just show up. And this also happens in other workplaces where you're the, say, for instance, you walk into a grocery store and all the cashiers just seem annoyed, agitated, or pissed off. Well, then your experience there is unpleasant. And that is inadvertent bullying, and that happens as well. So what does that look like, and why is this so important? Well, as I mentioned earlier, there's a certain percentage of people that actually believe bullying is happening to them, and that's around 93%. And then there's a percentage of people that believe bullying is kind of happening, but it's not. And then there are people that have no idea that it's happening inside their workplace. And that's an issue, and that's a problem that we can address simply by understanding and educating ourselves as to what it is and what it looks like and how we can better counter it. And how common is it again? 96% of employees have experience incivility in their organization. Incivility. I keep saying incivility, but I know that's not the right word. 60% of employees report stress due to incivility at work, and 80% of employees, incivility is a problem throughout their organization, and 35% of employees report being bullied at their work. Now, 35% report it. That's different than 35% recognize it's happening. 96% recognize it's happening. 60% report that they're stressed out about it, and 80% believe it is happening throughout their organization. But probably the biggest statistic of all is only 3% actually report by pursuing legal action against it. Only 3%. And that's, again, because a lot of companies and corporations have very powerful, expensive attorneys. And as an employee who's now unemployed has no way of affording that. That is something that can happen. But other countries have laws for it, like Sweden and Japan and everything. But we don't here. And that is something that we should definitely look at. Now, that again, that would include religions, because there is an exemption already for religions, and now there is one for atheism where you cannot bully an atheist. And that's all, actually, that might only be in Oregon, if I think about it. I don't think that's a U.S. one. So there are things starting to come out and come into place where no longer can everybody be bullied in these things, and there are laws coming out against it. We do need a bigger awareness, a bigger movement though, and there needs to be more education and knowledge. That's what I aim to do, is to help educate workplaces of the bullying and just bad practice. Because if you have bad morale at work, you have bad performance overall. If we learned anything from Monsters, Inc., it is not screams that is more powerful, it is laughter. I want to thank you for listening today to another episode of The Adam Paradox. I am your host, Adam. And if you want to be on the show or if you have a story you would like me to share, please get a hold of me on any of my social media platforms or on Facebook at the Adam Paradox Podcast or on Twitter, One Adam Paradox.